welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, what I got today was just a bit out of the blue because it's just jumping into 2 Samuel. It's a song of praise that David gives when he's giving thanks for his life and all that God's done in his life. And I felt that the Lord was just saying, this is for you guys right now. All right, it's a thanksgiving for what God has done, but also it's like a prophetic thanksgiving of what God is going to be doing. All right, of which this will be a key sort of kickstart, if you like, because that will be when there's this download of teaching and anointing that will enable us to run. All right, hope you're feeling fit because we've got some running to do. Now, a lot of this is about overcoming the enemy. All right, our enemy is never people. All right. Now, in David's time, his enemy was people. He lived in the time of the Old Testament. He lived in ancient times. And God demonstrated in a very physical and often violent way the spiritual truths that we now live in. All right. People are never our enemy. Even when people are standing against us or swearing in our face, they're not our enemy. They are our neighbor to love. But the spirit that's behind that is the enemy. Anything which is against the plan of God is the enemy. So sickness is always the enemy, whether it's coming directly from the evil spirits, if you like, or whether it's purely a natural manifestation in your body. In that sense, it's the enemy. The good news is it's not an enemy that's got any power, as we're going to see. It's an enemy that is defeated. It's an enemy that we have the victory over. But we do have to establish that victory. And if we're truthful, that's not what the church has always been good at doing. Because the church sees, let's go back a few years, and a church, just church generally, sees that people aren't being healed, sees that miracles aren't happening, and comes up with a new kind of theology that says, that's it, they don't belong to us anymore. But that is completely unbiblical. The word never says that this is all going to cease. The word never says that this will die out. In fact, Jesus talks about, you will do greater things than I've been doing, because you'll have the Holy Spirit living in you, and there'll be more of you. All right? You're going to see greater miracles, greater happenings, greater healings. And this is Jesus' passion today, to see greater miracles, greater healings, greater needs being met, and lives being miraculously transformed. Amen. I'm longing to see the day when we see person after person after person with Alzheimer's healed and their mind fully restored. It's an evil, nasty enemy. It comes from a spirit of infirmity, and we're not having it. Not only are we not having it in the church, we're not having it in the people that we're led to. We're not having it in our town. We're not having it in our region. And that's just one example. But behind all these things are spirits of infirmity and spirits of death. Hallelujah. We don't actually have to get too het up in naming the medical condition. That's the doctor's job. That's the consultant's job. They like to put names on all the different things. We don't really need to know the names of our enemies. We just need to know they're defeated. We don't need to know what specific kind of cancer it is. We just need to know that life overcomes death. All right. The very fact that we celebrated Easter last weekend is a demonstration that we have victory over cancer. All right, because cancer ultimately leads to death. And death is there in the middle of the Easter message in a tomb. And what happens? Kapow! There is a resurrection, and Jesus goes down to hell and rescues others and goes back up to heaven and demonstrates the complete victory over death.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So if you, even if you have a cancer diagnosis in you or in your family right now, you know that in the risen Christ, you have victory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if maybe it's not something as serious, anything that's wrong is serious to that person. Maybe it's just arthritis or a bad back and stuff like that. We still have complete victory in Jesus Christ. God did not create these bodies to have arthritis and aches and pains and boils and bunions and all that kind and colds and flu. He didn't. That is part of the fall. That is part of the corruption that this world has got that we live in. But he's given us the power to overcome the world. Amen. He's into restoring bodies. He's into restoring minds. He's into seeing people saved for eternity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we're the team he's called to get the message out. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go from 2 Samuel. Did I give that? Chapter 22. And we're going to go from verse 29. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. Okay. Now, it's very interesting that the Hebrew word there in darkness talks about obscurity. I'm using the NIV today, actually. It talks about obscurity. It's like you're hidden in darkness. And when it talks about the lamp there, what it means is that you're being brought out of the darkness and I'm shining the light on you. And I believe this is not only what God is doing to us as individuals, but this is kind of a prophetic word for Kingdom Faith Church, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, us mob. All right? You're being brought, we are being brought out of darkness into a place of the light. We're being brought out of obscurity to where people know about us. And that's going to bring great fruit. That's going to bring great excitement. That's going to bring great miracles. That's going to bring great healings. And it'll probably bring us a bunch of trouble too. Hallelujah. So we need to know who we are. We need to know where we stand so that if trouble rises up, we won't get, oh no, it's not God. Look, nasty things are happening. We'll just know this is of God. The enemy is resisting. All right. And how does the enemy attack? The enemy can attack you through other people. The enemy can attack you through sickness. The enemy can attack you through lack of finances. But probably the most common way is he gets in here and he murmurs lies and nasty bits and pieces to you about who you are or about what others think of you or about what's happening and says it's all wrong, it's not good, it's bad. That's what the enemy does, so he can take you out of the army, he can take you out of the group so that you're out of action. And whenever anybody's missing, it's like a crucial part is gone.
That's right.
Anybody ever seen the film Hugo? Not many, okay. Well, it's a film about a boy who's running the clocks in Paris in a station, and there's a long story of how he fixes things, and so he wants to fix this guy whose life is broken because he's lost his purpose and his destiny. And his purpose and destiny in the film was to make films, okay? It's set in the 1930s, and he's an early filmmaker. I recommend it to you. It's a you, but it's a film for adults and children. It's just a... It's a deeply spiritual film amongst just being a really nice story. But there's a part in the film, if I've been really smart, I'll have had it up there for you today, but there's a part in the film where they're talking about this guy and the boy who lives in the station, his parents are dead, he's looking for a home as well. And he says, well, in machines, every single part counts. He said, when you make a machine, every bit, every nut, bolt, screw, gear has got a purpose that makes that machine do what it needs to do. And he sort of looks out over Paris and over the world. And he says, and I figure that that's what the world is like, because the world is like a machine. And so every single person, and initially he's saying this to the girl that's with him, because she's wondering whether she's got purpose. And he says to her, so therefore every single person must be important because nothing is ever wasted. Every person has purpose and destiny. Amen. And she gets excited. And then he says, and so has George, Papa George, his name is, but he's forgotten his purpose and destiny, and that's why he's so miserable and down. And if we can rediscover that and get him back in the machine, he will be happy again.
Come on, amen, amen, amen.
Yeah, you've got all the parallels. But even on a small scale, it's true of us as church. Every person in this church is of equal importance in making the fulfillment of what God has called us to do. I'm not more important because I get to stand up here more Sundays than anybody else. All right, every single person, whatever their age, is an important part of the machine, if you like. It's a bit impersonal to think of a machine, but it's what makes this work. And when somebody goes missing... When somebody goes AWOL or somebody runs off somewhere else, the church does suffer. There's absolutely no doubt that in the spirit, the church suffers. So the enemy is constantly battling in here to get people out of the picture. And he does it in all kinds of ways, getting you depressed, taking offense. Easy one. You take offense over something that somebody else has said or something that I've said. And you know what? 98% of the time when we take offense over what somebody's said, we've misunderstood them anyway.
That's right.
You know? An offense is a dangerous weapon of the enemy. We hold on to it as if it's treasure.
That's right.
I remember a story being told of killing monkeys once. I think it was in Malaysia. And they want to trap the monkeys. They want to bash them over the head with a club. Okay? Sorry about the graphic detail, but the children have gone out. Oh, sorry, Gabby. But so what happens is, what they do is they put these cages out and they put something that monkeys like in the cage, usually bright and shiny and lovely. And they make it so that the monkey can put their hand through the cage and grab the nice shiny object. But then because their hand is now bigger with a nice shiny object, they can't get it back out the cage. And they kill the monkeys by walking up to them and smashing them over the head. And the monkeys can see the people coming up to get them, and all they need to do is let go. But that shiny object is so precious that they're willing to allow somebody to do their head in because they want to hold on to it. And that's a very good picture of what the enemy does with offense. We're so wanting to hold on to our offense because it was their fault. It wasn't my fault. I don't need to apologize. And while we're doing that, the enemy is doing our head in. Amen. And I tell you this now, and I warn you with this now, because as we go into great things of God, there will be times when you are offended, and sometimes completely justifiably offended. If it wasn't for Jesus, you'd be right to hold on to it. But because of what he's done, we've got no right to hold on to anything. And in any case, holding on to offense is just a way of getting smashed. All right, by the enemy. And so God is going to be bringing us out of obscurity and shining his light on us. Yes. So we need to be ready for these kind of things. This is not negative speaking. This is preparing the army for battle. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's always going to be, in any group of people, you're going to struggle to get on with some people more than you do others. Because we tend to like people who are like us. And hopefully in a church, you have a whole variety of people. So there will always be people that you find the way they think, the way they do things, is just, you don't agree with that. You know? And it's very easy to allow the enemy to get in and think that you're not together. We are made one by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Right. So, knowing that we're being brought out of darkness into the light, the next verse says, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. There's two words in those two phrases there that I want you to remember as we go forward. With your help, I can. With my God, I can. Whatever you face, remember, I can. If you're seeking healing and you've prayed I don't know how many times and you've had hands laid on and you're still thinking not much has happened, just remember, I can. I can. I can do this. I can be healed. With your help, I can advance against a troop. It means the troop is a marauding band of bandits. All right? Well, however bad it is, you can face it and you can do it. You can overcome. No matter what comes up in your life, no matter what you face, I can do this because God is with me. You in your entire lives could face some pretty nasty stuff. All right, but you can do it. I can do this. Every one of us at times suffers, goes through things like the death of our parents, whether it's natural at the end of their lives or even if their lives are shorter than you want them to be. We all go through this. And if we know in advance, I can, with the help of my God, get through it, you will find that the whole experience is surprisingly not the horrendous thing that you're almost taught that it should be. You never forget the loss. When my dad died in 2008, I still miss him. I still sit and watch some photographs of him occasionally, and there'll be a smell or a saying or something that'll happen that just remind me, that might bring a tear to my eye. But I don't go around with a sense of some people carry mourning like a death cloak. You know, they feel they almost have to act a role. We don't have to act a role because God turns our mourning into dancing. He brings us comfort and he brings us joy, and he really, really does. That doesn't mean you kick somebody who's going through it, but if you prepare yourself in advance, then you can be ready to know, I can do this with God. I will come through this. Sometimes it takes time, but you will come through this. Whatever this is, you will come through. I can advance against a marauding band of bandits. I can, because God is with you. And then the next bit is I can, with my God, I can scale a wall, or I can run through a barricade, or I can leap over a wall. There's nothing in the enemy or the world can put in front of you that's going to prevent you from walking in that purpose and destiny that God has. If something gets in the way, you're just going to leap over the top of it. All right? And you're going to leap much higher than that. There's nothing that can get in the way. If it's a barricade of the enemy, as it says in some translations, you're going to come up with it, and there's going to be a sort of a special effects department. It's going to kick into gear. It's going to go into animated 3G, and you are going to take off. Okay? Yeah, well, that's $6 million man. I was trying to be a little bit more up to date.
Oh, come on.
And, you know, and you'll be up, and you'll be over, flying over the heads of the enemies, and we'll just have this astonished look on their face. How did he do that? And you'll say, well, I can, because God is my strength and my help. Amen. And really, that's probably the message this morning, so we could stop, but I'm going to read a little bit more. I can. As for God, so when you're in your I can mode, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Hallelujah. It means like gold. It's refined and precious and tested and smelted. The word of God is not going to let you down. It's been tested. It's been refined. It's, as we've got it today, it's got, what, 6,000 years at least of refinement and development and writing down. We're such a privileged people to have something that's been around for so long. I mean, even if you're not a Christian, what a treasure to have a book that's thousands of years old, that's full of the wisdom of humankind. But actually, it happens to be God. You know, this book is amazing in the stuff and the insight it has into the human condition. Hallelujah. It is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Amen. So the enemy will come against you. What do? We get into God. We get into him. When the enemy comes in, the temptation is to sort of be pressed down. No, allow the pressure to push you up to heaven. Get your focus on him. And sometimes everything that is in you screaming out, you know, this is God's fault even. Just remember, that's coming from the enemy. It's God that's giving you the strength to jump over the wall. It's God that's giving you the power to deal with the situation. He is your strength. He is your encouragement. For who is God beside the Lord? Verse 32. And who is the rock except our God? The rock with a capital R. Because it's Jesus. Who is Jesus except our God? There it is in 2 Samuel. Amen. It is God who arms me with strength. You're not some weak, namby-pamby, you know, stick figure. You've got muscles. You know, you've got some body on you. You in the spirit world, you've been working out and you just look good. Grace is very kind, you know. Obviously, you can develop those spiritual muscles by reading the word and prayer, but actually, even when you start, you look good. You look good. You're strong. Yeah, for he is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. What that means is it is he who sets you off in the right direction. We get so worried about, am I following God's plan for my life? Yes, you are. All right, yes, you are. Unless there's a bunch of people, your friends and your leaders around you saying, what on earth are you doing? You will be following what God wants you to do. We get so het up about it. You know, what is God's eternal plan for me? Well, he might not have revealed all of that to you. Just do what he wants you to do today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Today, he wants you to revise for your exams that are coming up. I wonder who that would be a word for. Welcome back, you guys. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people try to prioritize their life. You know, is it God, wife, family, work? Is it God, studying, life, church? No. The priority is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's a wrong way of thinking, and it muddles you all up because you think, oh, am I doing enough here? Am I doing enough here? No, seek God first, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You want to be doing brilliantly at university? Put God first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't skimp on prayer and reading the word and gathering with believers, because that will actually do you more harm. If you want a great family, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. Now, you can go stupid on that and neglect your family, but that's another talk for another day. It's about putting him first. Amen. Anybody with me this morning?
Yes.
This is like a little bit of practical teaching from a bit of scripture to equip us for the way ahead.
Amen.
Amen. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to stand on the heights. You know, like a goat or a deer that can sort of skip through impossible terrain. You can take on something that looks totally impossible and you'll just jump through it. You know, you think of our summit building and all the stuff that was in the way, all the giants that were there and what God has been doing. And it's been like, you know, sort of through all the things, it's just moving forward.
Hallelujah.
You know?
Hallelujah.
It's good, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
But that's everybody's life.
Yes, yes.
He makes my feet and enables me to stand on the heights. Another translation says, I'm the king of the mountain. I think it's the message. I'm the king of the mountain. But that's what the feeling of this enables me to stand on the heights is trying to get. You stand up there and you are the boss. You're in charge. No enemy is going to divert you from the course that your life is taking. Amen. Even if sometimes we go a little bit off, the Holy Spirit is very good at bringing us back. The only time when it doesn't happen like that is when you are in deliberate sin, deliberately knowing that you're doing what God doesn't want to do. But even in those situations, God will be wooing you back.
Yes.
And will not waste what you go through. It's just awesome like that. He trains my hands for battle. He shows me how to fight, the message says. This is a little word on how to fight this morning. The whole Five Smooth Stones series was how to fight. How to fight. How to see a nation changed. How to see a town changed. Hallelujah. I don't want our new building to be great church where we all have awesome Sunday mornings and it doesn't change a town. It doesn't change a region. That would be heartbreaking. Wouldn't it? I know there's some amazing hearts in this place for reaching out. It's an awesome team of people that God has placed together. So much talent in this place. You know, we've got creative people. We've got people who are really good at loving and caring. We've got people who are entrepreneurs. We've got businessmen. We've got people who are good at teaching. We've got people who are good at encouraging. We've got people who are good at administrating. We've got people who are good at just making somebody else happy. We've got people who are good at making sure that somebody else is being cared for, isn't being left out. You know, and that's what it's about. It's a team. Some churches get into a misguided sense of some of the things I've mentioned. Oh, it's not being covered by the pastor, or it's not being covered by the leadership team. It's not about the pastor and the leadership team. It's about us all doing these things.
Come on.
If you're sick and in trouble, I mean, I have called on a lot of people, but that's not my prime purpose. It would be like taking the cog from here and putting it over here, and it won't quite fit. You'd be much better if I'm still over here keeping all this running, which will enable this part to work much better. But that's true for all of us. We find where we work, and we get on with what we do well. We don't have to do everything. We don't all have to be street angels. Some people breathe a huge sigh of relief at that one. Of course, we do all have to be youth angels, but that's another story now. That's even more frightening. Young people. And we don't all have to do everything. We've got to do what God's given us to do in the body that we are.
That's right.
And there's huge overlaps, and we're all called to love, and we're all called to be pastoral, and we're all called to be apostolic. But some of us are better at it than others. Some of us are more anointed at that area than others. But all are essential. He trains my hands for battle. He shows me how to fight. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. There it is again. I can bend a bow of bronze. I can. This, of course, would have been an amazing thing. The idea of having a bow made of bronze and bending it. It would enable this arrow to shoot incredibly, wouldn't it? So it's a picture of great strength. You give me your shield of victory. In other words, as it says in Ephesians, you give me your salvation armor. I'm protected. I don't go out there naked. I'm protected by God. This is powerful, you know, this next bit. You stoop down. God stoops down. You stoop down to make me great. Wow. Where does that fit in with humility? The humility is to accept that that's in the Word. Because the words, the stoop down part, the Hebrew there, the root of that word, is about God's humility. God is humble. That's a little of an odd thought sometimes, isn't it? But God the Almighty, Elohim, is humble. And he's very happy to get down on his knees and serve you. I mean, when you look at some of our prayers, and some of our prayers that get answered, you sort of think, you know, we use him like some kind of personal waiter sometimes, don't we? Lord, if you could just get this for me. Certainly, sir. Is there anything else I can do for you, sir? And I don't think he's particularly offended, because he couldn't be. He's too humble. He's just delighted that you want to interact with him. Now, he wants to interact with us as friends and intimacy. But if that's where we're at, he's very happy to work with us with that, but he's calling us and wooing us into something much deeper. I'm nearly at an end here. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. He's not going to let you trip up. The path he's called you is good. But here's the bit about enemies. Here's the bit about everything that can, you know, the sickness, the disease, the lack of finance, the battles in the mind. This is what David did about his enemies, and this is what we're going to do with ours. Because we can. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle, and you made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes.
Amen.
Amen. Notice there's a lot of personal responsibility going on there. I. It's not that David doesn't know that it's his God, because at the beginning, with your help, I can. With my God, I can. But there's still always a personal responsibility of standing up. What is faith? It's doing something because you've read something or heard something. Faith that just hears something is not faith at all. It's just like a whiff of a rose on a breeze. That's what reading something is and not doing anything about it. Faith says, I will do. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not an experience. Faith is not going, oh, the Lord's coming all over me. Faith is, I will lay hands on that sick person, because the word says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Yeah. Yeah. You might be screaming in your mind, I don't know if I believe this. You do, because you're doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you think is screaming in your mind saying, you don't believe, you don't believe, you can't do this? All right. It's the enemy.
Yeah.
When anything that comes in, it's the source is the enemy. Sometimes he plays upon our fears, and in that sense it can be us. But the source is still the enemy when it tries to prevent us from doing what God says. So we know we can lay hands on the sick. And how do you know if you've got enough faith? You do it. It doesn't tell you what by the result that you get. The result that you get still doesn't mean you don't have faith. It may be that you only have a little faith, but then a little faith can move mountains. Hallelujah. It's very, very simple. We just do it. When there's call forwards in meetings to get healed and stuff like that, that's an awesome opportunity, because how do you know whether you've got faith? You get out the chair and move.
Amen. That's right.
You say, well, I'm going to go for this. Yeah, that's it. We try to dress it up with so many
Hallelujah.
Complications, and God left it really, 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 really simple. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I looked up the word. It's color. It means annihilated, spent, consumed, demolished, completely gone, destroyed, devoured, exterminated, finished, perished, terminated, vanished, and wasted.
Amen.
That's what God thinks of that sickness or that lack of money or that whatever comes against you. He says, let's read it again. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I eradicated and utterly destroyed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed, annihilated, spent, consumed, demolished, completely gone, destroyed, devoured, exterminated, finished, perished, terminated, I have to take a breath, vanished and wasted. Come on, this is God's picture of victory. Not just a, oh, I'm feeling a little bit better. That's good. Any experience is good. It encourages us, but we go in for the fight, the kill. You know, I'm 40% better. Praise God, you're 40% better, but let's go for 60. Let's go on for 80. Let's get there for 100%. Hallelujah. I've got a nasty cold, and it healed up much quicker. Praise God. Next time you want to see it healed instantly. I've got pains in my legs, and I was praying for, and the next day I was great. Yes, praise God. Amen. But let's see more where we praise for somebody who's got pains in their leg and then they're skipping and dancing because the pain's all gone. Hallelujah. The enemy is being annihilated, defeated, destroyed, consumed, exterminated, terminated, banished, and wasted. I like the fact that wasted is in the list. You armed me with strength. Okay, we're just going to finish. We're just going to nip to the New Testament. I'm not going to preach on these bits. Do you know that comes from the early Christians? It's a sign of the fish, actually. They used to use it to show other Christians that they were Christians. It's the sign of the fish. Doesn't mean Fainites or good luck. It means I'm a Christian. Are you? 1 Corinthians 15. So we're just talking about the enemy being annihilated. Here's the New Testament response. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give me an amen or something.
Amen.
I'm going to read that one again. Now, you've all been prepared. Let's pretend I didn't do it the first time. If you just wind back the recording a bit, Richard, it'll sound really good when people listen online. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'm just giving enough time for people to iPad it, look it up in their Bibles. I do sit in congregations as well. I know that you get caught out by speakers. I know that you're just all not sinners and don't agree with the word. It's okay. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in the Lord, is not in vain. Love that, love that. And the last verse, because I said I wouldn't preach on them. 1 John chapter 5. Diddly do, diddly do, diddly do, diddly do, diddly do. Just giving you time, just in case you want to respond. 1 John chapter 5. At the beginning. If you don't give the verse, that's fine. Just go to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. Getting hassled from the front row today. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God to obey his commands. Yeah. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
There it is. I love the context of the overcomes the world.
Yes.
The context is love for one another and love for Jesus.
Amen.
And love
Come
for the Father.
On.
For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in that context, jump to verse 14 in the same chapter. Because in the context of that, that's when John writes, "This is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we've been praying almost after every church meeting recently. We're not going to today. Because of the time, and in any case, there's going to be lots of opportunity for ministry coming up. But if your faith is stirred, you say, if I go down this morning, I'm going to get my healing, you get down here.
Come on.
All right, and we'll pray. Ask anybody along the front row here, or even ask the person next to you, because healing is always available.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier at the end of the worship, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, you can come into a relationship with him for the very first time. Amen. If you don't know how, talk to the person you came with, or if you came on your own, again, you can talk to any of us. We'd love to tell you how to begin this great adventure.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.